Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 2. Causality and Systematics. The Greeks, no less than biblical thought, held to the idea of causality, but with a difference. The Greek concept of causality was closely tied to its belief in potentiality. All being was held to be full of potentiality, so that new developments in being were always possible. Luke tells us in Acts 17:21, quote, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things," end quote. The new was very important to these Greek philosophers, teachers, and students. It was an indication of the next step in being, perhaps, a glimpse into the areas of possibility. As Van Til notes, quote, "They believed in," quote, "the mysterious universe," end quote. They were perfectly willing, therefore, to leave open a place for, quote, "the unknown," end quote. But this, quote-unquote, unknown must be thought of as utterly unknowable and indeterminate, end quote. For Greek philosophy, there was no determined character to the created universe, because they did not believe in the absolute, sovereign, and predestinating God. Their idea of causality thus simply held that there was a connection between contextual events, but it denied that any sovereign person, plan, and decree created and determined those events. Much later, as a result of Christian influence and scholarship, the idea of natural or physical laws developed. This concept held, whether in physics, chemistry, biology, or any other area of study, certain patterns of connection indicated an overall law which necessitated a determined pattern of events. This presupposed a universe, not a multiverse, and a fixed and predetermined law governing all creation. The Greeks could see ideas or patterns within creation, but no fixity or necessary and continuing pattern. On Greek terms, therefore, a systematic theology was impossible. At best, any system noted had to be tentative and temporal, not eternal and binding. Thus, as the Greek mind faced the early church, it had one basic idea which had fixity. It held that systematics must be, by definition, ruled out and an open universe retained. New potentiality had to be allowed, and no eternal decree permitted. Thus, the biblical doctrine of the incarnation was ruled out, because it meant that eternity determined time, and God controls history. It meant that the two ultimate substances for Greek thought, mind and matter, were alike created and absolutely controlled by God. For the Word to become flesh meant that the Greek idea of being was invalid, and that its philosophy was unsound, because it rested on a false premise with respect to being and potentiality. Tertullian saw this clearly, and in On the Flesh of Christ 3 declared, quote, "Since you think that this lay within the competency of your own arbitrary choice, you must needs have supposed that being born was either impossible for God or unbecoming to him. With God, however, nothing is impossible but what he does not will," end quote. For Tertullian, there is a necessary and systematic logic and coherency to all God's works, so that his idea of causality and potentiality is not grounded on the Greek idea of being and a developing potentiality, but on the sovereign, unchanging, and triune God. As a result, Tertullian declares, quote, "What is written cannot but have been," end quote. When the Scriptures speak, it is infallibly. It is the absolute God whose every word is truth who speaks that word. There is no possibility outside of God, nor is there any hidden or unknown potentiality within God. He is totally self-conscious and totally determines all by his perfect will. He is totally self-conscious and totally determines all by his perfect will. The strength of Tertullian's argument is that he grasped, however defectively applied at times, the necessary systematics of biblical theology. Greek thought, combined with Christianity, could at best give only a tentative systematics, and at heart it carried a denial thereof. Wherever theology began with the God of Scripture, however, it confronted the world of the pagans with systematics. In the 2nd century, Titian, schooled in Greek philosophy, turned to Christianity when he grasped the fact that it provided a systematic theology, and therefore a coherent view of all things. However weak Titian was in some areas of thought, his grasp of this fact, the necessity of systematics, is telling. Titian wrote of his conversion from Greek philosophy through a reading of, quote, barbaric, end quote, biblical writings, thus, quote, "And while I was giving my most earnest attention to the matter, I happened to meet with certain barbaric writings, too old to be compared with the opinions of the Greeks, and too divine to be compared with their errors. And I was led to put faith in these by the unpretending cast of the language, the inartificial character of the writers, the foreknowledge displayed of future events, the excellent quality of the precepts, and the declaration of the government of the universe as centered in one being. And my soul being taught of God, I discerned that the former class of writings led to condemnation, but that these put an end to the slavery that is in the world, and rescue us from a multiplicity of rulers and 10,000 tyrants, while they give us, not indeed what we had not before received, but what we had received, but were prevented by error from retaining." End quote. The government of the universe centered in God, Titian found to be the foundation of both intellectual and personal freedom. It meant spiritual and material freedom, and it also meant intellectual freedom from the dead ends of Greek philosophy. As against the conclusions of such philosophy and pagan religions, Titian declared, quote, "But we are superior to fate, and instead of wandering demons, we have learned to know one Lord who wanders not, and as we do not follow the guidance of fate, we reject its lawgivers." End quote. Titian saw that the results of Christianity include a new life, faith, law, and society. Having another lawgiver, the Christians live in terms of another law than do the pagans. The determination of history is not from time, but eternity. Quote, "Our God did not begin to be in time. He alone is without beginning, and he himself is the beginning of all things." End quote. As against the cyclical view of history, Christians hold to God's purpose, culminating in the resurrection of the dead. For Titian, the creation of all things by God requires the government of all things by God's law. Accordingly, he declared, quote, "On this account, I reject your legislation also, for there ought to be one common polity for all, but now there are as many different codes as there are states, so that things held disgraceful in some are honourable in others. The Greeks consider intercourse with a mother as unlawful, but this practice is esteemed most becoming by the Persian magi. Pederasty is condemned by the barbarians, but by the Romans, who endeavour to collect boys like grazing horses, it is honoured with certain privileges." End quote. Quite rightly, Titian saw all things at stake in the doctrine of God, that is, that biblical view which required systematics. The doctrine of the sovereign and triune God means that there is a necessary order in the universe, that all things are interrelated and have a common key to the meaning that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and also one law in the universe. Events do not reveal the hidden potentiality of being, but manifest purposes of the sovereign God. Man does not make and adapt laws to meet the new leaps in being, but applies the revealed law of God to all of life. Causality is personal in essence, since all things are the handiwork of God the Lord. Causality is not, as with the Greeks, the impersonal and blind outworkings of a being rife with unrealized potentialities. If we deny the possibility of systematic theology, we deny the God of Scripture. We are then on the road to denying not only theology, but all knowledge, because factuality has been denied its created meaning and its purpose. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.